So God created humankind in his image. In the image of God, he created them. Male and female, he created them. God blessed them, and God said to them, "Be fruitful and multiply, and fill the earth and subdue it. Have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the birds of the air, and over every living thing that moves upon the earth." God said, "See, I have given you every plant yielding seed that is upon the face of all the earth, and every tree with seed in its fruit. You shall have them for food. And to every beast of the earth, and to every bird of the air, and to everything that creeps on the earth, everything that has the breath of life, I have given every green plant for food." And it was so. God saw everything that he had made, and indeed it was very good. And there was evening, and there was morning, the sixth day. Word of God. Word of life. You know, every time I preach, I go through quite an ordeal in the week that's leading up to Sunday. Miracles truly happen during the week, and some battling does for me as well. You see, preachers travel different journeys when they prepare their sermons. I spend the first part of my week listening. I read the scripture and I enter the process of emptying myself of all of the narratives that Gia would want to share. And I just listen. I listen to God and to the community and to my family, and I listen to the Spirit. I read the scripture and I take myself out of the equation. I just listen. Listening can be challenging, especially for those who are like me, who always have a mouthful to share. Not talking and not presuming, not shaping, well, just listening, that is an art. It's an art that involves getting out of God's way. It's an art that I have been refining for years. And as I read the scripture this week, I shook my head, both in awe and in frustration. The Bible has a way sometimes of sharing awesome divine events or conversations so simply and so succinctly that if we don't pause and pull it apart, there is such a great danger of rushing through Scripture and missing something incredible. Let us make humankind in our image according to our likeness, to have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the air and over every living thing that moves upon the earth. You see, I have given you every plant yielding seed that is upon the face of all the earth, and every tree with seed in its fruit. You shall have them for food. And as I dug into the scripture this week and unfolded each passage, as I listened, I entered what I call my Aldi phase. Most of the staff here at Park know exactly what this is, and my children know it very well. I love Aldi. Every time I go into the store by my house, I watch the employees, and they're so focused on their job responsibility, on their work, and on the customer. The staff are always smiling and polite. They engage in conversation with me and other customers. The employees seem to be well-trained and equipped for their roles, and they're focused on the work that they have been given. They're so good at their jobs with the motto that says that they believe in providing the best value and quality in everything that they do. And during my Aldi phase, I find myself questioning that week whether I can be as good at doing mine. I know that my experience at Aldi isn't exactly about the store, per se. It's about what it represents. It is only when I enter my Aldi phase of my preaching week that I think back to that feeling, and I realize how small I am and how big and wide God is. I think about how much I need God to do my work, and I say to myself, like I did this week, this scripture is so big! And preaching this word is so big, it is so much bigger than me. And I find myself feeling sorry for myself, thinking about Aldi and wondering what it would be like to just focus on the main thing, not my insecurities or outside distractions. I imagine that life would be simpler for me. It sounds funny saying it out loud, but theologically, this is the process where, after throwing myself my very own pity party, I empty myself of myself and I wait for the Holy Spirit to fill me up. This is where I'm receptive to the Spirit's words and direction to share in a sermon, in this sermon. People around me know that when I reach my Aldi phase, I am well on my way. When I reach my Aldi phase, I'm almost there. I'm finally at the point where God can use me to preach a relevant, hopefully prophetic sermon that we all need to hear and that I need to hear. I stop worrying about language and phrases and punctuation and comedic lines, and I just focus on my role, on the main thing. When I reach that Aldi phase, I realize that my suspicion is correct. This work is bigger and wider than I am. God is bigger and wider than I am. I am correct that alone I am not equipped or qualified to preach a sermon or to lead a congregation. When I reach my Aldi phase, I remember that God is. That God is. And then I remember to get in my lane, to stay in my lane, and let God do the rest. Let us pray. Gracious God, we come to you today expecting to hear a word from you. I ask that you use me in spite of myself and my imperfections to share your word and your truth. Speak, Lord. Your servants are listening. Amen. So now we know about Aldi job descriptions for their employees. What is our job description? What exactly is our lane? God tells us in this scripture that we are to be fruitful and to multiply. Our job description also includes caring for every living thing that moves upon the earth. We have been equipped, created in God's own image, to do the work that we have been given. The Message translation of this scripture indicates that this is why we are here. God spoke, "Let us make human beings in our image, make them reflecting our nature, so that they can be responsible for the fish in the sea, the birds in the air, the cattle, and yes, earth itself, and every animal that moves on the face of the earth." This is our role. Scripture doesn't provide any other requirements, experience, or prerequisites. Being created in God's image is sufficient. It is enough. And just like with my Aldi phase during my preaching week, the very idea of caring for the planet just seems so big and so overwhelming. And just like preparing a sermon, it is. We know that God is love and God is beauty and that everything that is good comes from God. But let me tell you who else God is. Let me tell you a bit more about the awesomeness of our Creator, the one who qualifies and equips us, of our Creator in us who makes it all possible. Earlier this week, when I entered my listening phase, I had a conversation with my big brother. You see, I have two older brothers. We're all 3 years apart, and I am the youngest. My oldest brother, Brian, is 6 years older than me. And Brian is a scientist. He is brilliant and black and white and a connector of all the dots. He is logistics and hypothesis and proof. Our conversations about the intersections of faith and science have always been fascinating to me. I love him very much. And in our conversation earlier this week, Brian was sharing with me one of the truths that he had discovered about people and the world. He introduced me to a man by the name of Alexander Gershwitz, who's a scientist that discovered the existence of something called biophotons in the earlier part of the 20th century. Biophotons are bits of light within the cells of all living beings. Bits of light within the cells of all living beings. Gersh, with his research, began the conversation which has led scientists to explore this phenomenon of how cells communicate using light, using biophotons. Scientists have been unable to determine or explain just how they came to be. In plain language, they remark that they just are. Cells communicate within our bodies to heal us, to grow and to thrive, to survive. And biophotons, those particles of light, they increase these processes by up to 30%, drastically. Researchers, including my brother, say that it is not known just how cells know what they know. There's a website called Soul Guidance that shares that scientists cannot determine, for example, how a cell knows how to produce a foot for a foot, and how cells in the head know exactly how to form a brain. They can't really understand how molecules know where to go inside the body or how to heal things in the body. Scientists now believe that biophotons, these particles of light, control these processes to communicate the right information for what needs to happen inside of our bodies. We heal ourselves, we grow ourselves, we're like self-cleaning ovens. My brother forwarded me research that estimates that the average human being has more than 37 trillion cells in their body. There are literally billions of biophotons, that light that's stored inside of those cells. And each one of our cells contains chromosomes, which are made of DNA. And the DNA structure is like this, looks like it's like a ladder, looks like a double helix. Is it up, or can we put it up on the screen? It's coming. All right. So if you've seen that, it looks like a double helix. So it looks like a ladder with rungs, right? And they hold all the strands together. So if we were to unstack that ladder and lay it out flat and connect it, we would have roughly 12.4 billion miles of DNA inside of us. Billion. All folded and wound up tight like a ball of yarn, like a great big ball of light. It's fascinating, isn't it? With this lighted length, we could make over 66 trips, round trip to the sun and back. Our DNA could make one big circle. Individually, we could literally orbit our entire universe. There is enough light inside of each of us to light up the universe, inside of each of us, created artistically inside of each of us. Jesus, the light of the world, is literally, artfully, unexplainably stored inside of each of us. God is in our veins. God is in our muscles. God is in our organs, in our heart. We have been fearfully and wonderfully, perfectly made. We are the light of God, and God is in us. I'd say that qualifies us, don't you? You see, we don't realize that we carry such a beautiful and a divine light. We often don't realize that we don't have to solve every issue on our own in our own strength. We see a task like caring for the world as so huge and so daunting. Well, there's so much ground to cover. It seems so overwhelming. With God residing and lighting in the very core of our being, of who we are equipped to do the work that we were created to do. I am equipped to do the work that I was created to do. You know who else is equipped to do the work that God has created us to do? Those who need our compassion As I was thinking about that shooter in New Zealand, I said to myself, he doesn't know that he's got the light of God, that he was created. He was created by God. When I turn around and see so much injustice, I say, those who discriminate, those who hurt, they don't know that they carry the light of God. They don't know that they were fearfully and wonderfully made. We've got to get better at telling them, don't we? We are all equipped to care for the world that is around us and in us, and to be responsible for the earth and every living being that moves in the world. That is our job description. That is our lane. In addition to being qualified and equipped and able to do this work, we are well compensated for it as well. We have sustenance and energy to fulfill our job responsibilities. God says, I have given you every plant yielding seed that is upon the face of all the earth, and every tree with seed in its fruit, you shall have them for food. We have food and nourishment. We have all that we need to continue that for which we were created. And God has given us everything that we need. God has compensated us, trusting that we are going to do what we have been asked and what we have been created to do. God expects us to fulfill our job responsibilities. There are no exceptions here. There's no clauses or addendums in the word. However, if we're honest right now, we are reaping the benefits of God's goodness and compensation, and we are not fulfilling our obligations. We are getting compensated for work that we have not completed and work that we just are not doing. If we're honest, we have made such a mess of things, haven't we? The United States creates 220 million tons of waste every year, which ends up in landfills and generates this methane gas, which is one of the worst greenhouse gases because it also adds to global warming. Our water is polluted by 2 million tons of sewage and waste that enters our water sources every single day. Humanity's desire for growth and modernization has resulted in many species' loss of habitat. 80,000 acres of tropical forests are gone every single day. Our hunger for more money, for more stuff, it leads to businesses overfishing, mass producing, polluting air with chemicals, and affecting the masterful ecosystem that God has created. We are literally killing our world in our own strength and in our own ignorance. And in our own strength and our own ignorance, we tried and we keep trying to fix a world that honestly wasn't broken when it was placed in our hands. We are fearfully and wonderfully made. And the world was fearfully and wonderfully made. All of creation, every person, every creature, every living being has been made in the light, in the image of God, with DNA and chromosomes and biophotons and a world of light and light of the world. Our lane, our responsibility is to use what God has given us, the spiritual and the physical and the literal light of God, to complete these jobs for which we were created. I'm so proud that Parks Creation Care team is introducing this new compost and recycling receptacles here at the church. Have you seen them already? They're making their way around the church. The team is also partnering with Pastor Gloria and I to co-lead a Bible study that helps us to see the beauty and awesomeness that is in God's word and in all of God's creation. And you see, we need that help. We need the help to see and realize how big and how wide God is, and how beautiful, how masterful God's creation is. When we remember that, we can empty ourselves and faithfully rest in our lanes at peace, knowing that our God is literally the creator of the universe, the unexplainable universe. And God has placed it inside of us to care for the world. And to care for the world is to care for ourselves. To care for the plants and animals, our nourishment is to care for ourselves. And like my Aldi phase, we can just focus on the main thing, on what's happening in our lane. We can let God handle what's happening outside of our realm. And yes, it is a lot of work. It's a lot of hard work. But it is life-giving and light-giving in every sense of the word. Amen? Amen. Let us pray. All-powerful God, you are present in the whole universe and in the smallest of your creatures. You embrace us with your tenderness and in all that exists. Pour out upon us the power of your love that we may protect life and beauty. Fill us with peace that we may live as brothers and sisters, as siblings, harming no one. O God of the poor, help us to rescue the abandoned and forgotten of this earth, so precious in your eyes. Bring healing to our lives that we may protect the world and not prey on it, that we may sow beauty and not pollution and destruction. Touch the hearts of those who look only for gain at the expense of the poor and the earth. Teach us to discover the worth of each thing, to be filled with awe and contemplation, to recognize that we are profoundly united with every creature as we journey toward your infinite light. We thank you for being with us each day. Encourage us, we pray, in our struggle for justice, for love, and for peace. Amen.